Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie. Professor Paul Horan. Paul, you contacted us on Monday. We were talking about AstraZeneca. We're told there's going to be a press conference. It was originally scheduled for 2 o'clock Irish. Apparently now it's 3 o'clock. But all the indications are, and I'll go on the latest statement that the European Medicines Agency issued on the eve of St. Patrick's Day, the 16th, and they say that they're doing a detailed evaluation of the cases of blood clots. But as previously stated, while its investigation is ongoing, EMA currently remains of the view that the benefits of the AstraZeneca vaccine in preventing COVID-19 with its associated risk of hospitalisation and death outweigh the risks of side effects. So why have we lost a week with these life-saving vaccinations?
I think it's really important, Joe, when you have a new vaccine, that, you know, it's very new, right? So we need to know what the side effects are. Now, let's be realistic about this. There isn't a medication that anybody takes that doesn't have a side effect, Joe. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of those medications have been on the market for years and years and years and years. Yeah? So I think it's really important that if there are side effects to this particular medication, or because it is a form of medication, a vaccine, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's preemptive, it's proactive. So I think it's really important that, yeah, okay, they took the time out. Let's find out what the press conference says, and let's keep finding out what the side effects are, because people need to know what they are, and certain people may be more vulnerable to side effects from a vaccine or medication than other people.
But nearly 20 million AstraZeneca vaccinations later. Four cases in Norway. And the whole, that is that now the bar? If there's four side effects out of 20 million, we'll have to halt it again if it's another issue comes up. Because that's the bar that's now been set. Not by the EMA, by the way, but by the individual countries.
I'm with Professor Luke O'Neill on this. I think that, you know, we have to look at the numbers here.
Yeah.
It's really important to look at the numbers. I myself had an unfortunate side effect of a medication about 10 years ago, which was a one in a million situation. Yeah, these things can happen. I don't think there's any medications without risk. There's no surgery, there's no medical intervention without
risk.
So
if you agree with Luke O'Neill, as I mentioned here on Tuesday, Professor Luke O'Neill said on the Pat Kenny show on Monday, Monday, and I repeated it here, that he said that the decision to halt the rollout of the vaccination to 30,000 very vulnerable people, remember, we're not next or near getting to the under 65s, let alone the under 50s or under 40s. We're still in the over 80s. That the decision to stop it for a vulnerable group. Now, I know there's a whole thing about 65s weren't over 65. Weren't getting it. But Luke O'Neill said the pause should not have happened. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with them if you look at it statistically. Yeah? But that's of cold comfort to families who may have had a relative who died as a result of this, you know, outlier side effect.
Yeah, but who died? So, there's no evidence anyone died.
But
17 people died yesterday of COVID in Ireland.
And many people are dying because people aren't being vaccinated, and that's the argument that's going on.
And where do you see? But that if we stick, I'm being devil's advocate here as well, partly, and I'll bring Dr. Greg Kelly in a second. But if that is now the bar, that is the standard for halting vaccinations, life saving vaccinations. That there's four people in one country, and there were 17. There was no cause and effect. There was a coincidence of timing, but Luke O'Neill, among others, made the point that there was blood clots, including the tarnisher. Blood clots are, there's 167 in Ireland every single day. Anyway, if the bar is now set, people say, oh, we have to be extra careful. That means we'll never get the vaccination finished in Ireland. Never. Because okay, there'll be another halt next week and then another.
Let me give you an example, Joe. let's take the MMR vaccine and what happened with regard to media coverage on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it was turned out there was no real causal effect there either. But the coverage of it, yeah, created a lack of public confidence. And I think that's what we have to think about here is, you know, how is this being portrayed? And I'm not criticising you guys in the media in any way, shape or form. It's about public perception. Mm-hmm. And people are hearing, oh, you might get a clot with this thing. Well, you're more likely to get a clot with COVID probably than from the vaccine.
You are more likely, apparently, to be hit by lightning after getting an AstraZeneca vaccination than you are to have a blood clot. Let me bring in Dr. Greg Kelly, who's in Castlereagh, County Roscommon. Greg, should we even ask the question how many people in Ireland have died because of the delay this week in the vaccination? Is that a metric that can be even measured?
Well, it's impossible to quantify that, but what you are doing by withholding this vaccine from what are very high-risk category of people, including people with cystic fibrosis and people having chemotherapy and people who are waiting and have had transplants. All of this category of people are waiting for the vaccine. Now, if four people died and it's been given to, well, in the UK, 20 or 30 million people have been given this vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very reasonable number to draw conclusions from. If it hasn't been a problem with these category and four people is out of all of that million is a very, very small percentage. Like any drug, even paracetamol that people buy over the counter, like one of the side effects is fatality if you take an overdose or even an ordinary dose of medication.
Well,
it can be fatal.
Well, Greg, insofar as you know, and Paul Horan as well, come in on this from Professor Paul Horan from Trinity again, if you wish. But how come there was the only person who said this was a bad decision to halt the relatively short supply of vaccinations we were getting anyway? But there was no outcry to say, listen, this has gone too far. If you start using this criteria for halting a vaccine, we're bad enough as it is in terms of rollout, but we'll never see the end of it. And government ministers and health officials, state health officials, were on a Monday saying this was a good thing that we've halted the AstraZeneca.
Well, from the very start, Joe, with the AstraZeneca, we've been bedeviled. Initially, they said we're not going to get the supply. Then we decided that that wasn't safe for the over 70s, even though it was being given to the over 70s in several other countries. And the European advisors and the WHO Health Organization had no problem with it, the over 70s. We withheld it more or less on our own. And then we decided more recently that it is okay for the over 70s. But we are only giving it to the under 70s, the people who are a high-risk category. And those people, they're very anxious to get it. And they are aware of four people in Norway, but you can't kind of make a case for or against a drug based on such a small number, especially when it's been given to millions of people. And right from the start, we've been making decisions in Ireland that weren't in keeping with what the World Health Organization were recommending, or even in the over 70s, what the European Medicines Agency were recommending.
Yeah, but the argument, Dr. Kelly, the argument on Monday was when they halted it on Saturday night, stroke Sunday morning, and they rang the Taoiseach at home on Saturday night and said, we have to stop this. And he just apparently, well, I'm sure he considerably did agree. But the argument is all along, well, it's better to be safe than being sorry. Isn't that the argument? That's what's thrown out at you all the time.
Joe, can I come in here for a minute, please?
Okay, Paul Horan, yeah.
I think one of the problems here is, A, the lack of global solidarity and agreement around these things. And that goes across the board regarding COVID anyway. And the second is reaction, or reactionary methods by politicians making decisions about things around COVID. You know, and, you know, my argument is that, you know, where's the evidence? And that's why I'm with the learned doctor who's on at the moment. That's
Greg,
why I'm with Professor with Greg. And that's why I'm with Luke O'Neill. The bottom line is 4 million versus Christ knows how many, or four people versus Christ knows how many million people who've been vaccinated. It's the old adage. Hard cases make poor laws and regulations. But I think that the public opinion issue here is huge, and this has gone out viral, you know, across the media, and people are saying, oh God, you know, if we take this, I'm at risk of that. And without looking at the evidence, but the other part of this is we need to be careful. And I am cautious. I'm cautious because if we look at other medications, we've got loads of evidence going across years. Yeah, we need to look at each case of a side effect of this. We need to build up a body of evidence, and that needs to be given to people. They need to be made aware of what these are, and then people can make their own decisions on that basis. But I suppose, and I don't want to be too critical of the politicians, because I think they've done a pretty good job, more or less. The AstraZeneca issue of itself is marred in supply issues and everything else. Mm. And this is just another part of that deal.
But the argument they put forward on Monday was, sure, it's only a delay of a week and everything. But people died this week. And people will not die if they get the vaccination.
But the other side of it, Joe, is, where are the AstraZeneca vaccines promised?
Well, we have 30,000, haven't we?
Yeah, but it's like we were promised a lot more than that. And this is part of an overall narrative around AstraZeneca that we need to look at a bit more carefully, I think. I think it's really tragic that these side effects happen, but the numbers, again, you know, but Cheltenham is on this week, yeah? Mm. If a horse was 20 million to one on, he's, you know, as opposed to the one that's, you know, 5 million to one, which one are you going to back?
Okay, stay with us. Bernard McKenna contacted us from Oxford in the UK. Bernard, you're observing and listening from there.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bernard.
Yes, I mean, I live in Oxford. I live in Headington. The Churchill Hospital is behind me here. I'm actually a patient there. I go there occasionally, though, there's, you know, but only for minor things. And basically, it's the fellow over the vaccine, Andy Pollard, goes to our church. Mm. There's two Irish professors.
He's from, Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, and Teslam and Adrian Hill, who are working as the team. This is an Anglo-Irish, invention, really. And Ireland should be so proud. But all the whole time, I get frustrated. Irish people get frustrated here because we can't understand Ireland. We just cannot understand. And it's constantly picking on AstraZeneca. I don't work for them. I'm a solicitor. But I don't work for them. But surely if people are picking on a company, it's only like a people. And it's going to react and it's going to send things to where people are welcoming them. And in this country, in England, in the UK, 25 million people have had the vaccine. Not all of it is AstraZeneca, but most of it is AstraZeneca. And I've had the AstraZeneca vaccine. I'm 60. My niece Miranda in Manchester had it at the Irish Centre in Cheetham Hill, and she's 50. My twin sister Caroline has had it, and she's 60. My nephew Matthew, who's 41, has even had it, and he's got cerebral palsy, I admit. But there's been very little side effects. When you have the AstraZeneca vaccine, and it's probably the same in Ireland, we get from the NHS, the National Health Service, a card that tells us the batch number and the vaccine we've had and the date we had it. And it reminds us that we need to have the second vaccine, I know, within 12 weeks, which they're not doing in Ireland. But it also gives us a leaflet and we take it away. And the leaflet lists common side effects. And it's what you've been saying. And I've had one of these side effects, which is tiredness. So it says 1 in 10 people will suffer with tiredness. My niece Miranda suffered with chills. But after a few hours, it goes away. And it lists, you know, common side effects, 1 in 10. Uncommon side effects, 1 in 100. Feeling dizzy and things. And then it even gives you
Bernard, you don't think especially on, it was on Tuesday, most of the British newspapers, looking at their front pages, were using this as to bash the EU. They were taking it that the reason why 17 countries in and without the EU as well, Norway's not in the EU, the reason why they were halting AstraZeneca was because they didn't like the UK. But that's not the case, is it?
No. I mean, I campaigned. I went around the streets of Oxford. Oxford versus 82% to stay in the EU, you know, and people did that. But what it is, van der Leyen is basically saying we're not going to let things out to vaccine-producing countries. Where's a vaccine-producing country? It's the UK and America. You know, at the moment, they were waiting in the UK for 10 million doses to come from India to this country. And it's not coming because America's not giving the materials to make it. The Pfizer vaccine, which is made in Belgium, has British products. Products go into that, which is sent from the UK to Belgium for the vaccine to be made. And everyone's ignored the fact that the European Medicine Agency has not sanctioned an AstraZeneca site in the Netherlands for the production of the vaccine. Everyone's just forgot about that, you know. That's not supposed to be sanctioned at the end of this month.
So can I just make a comment there?
Yeah,
really important comment.
Yeah.
And that is that, you know, I strongly advocate as a healthcare professional that people get the vaccine. It's their only way out of this. You know, and I think it's probably an old adage of bad news makes better news than good news. I do think there are other things to play from the comments of the previous gentleman from Oxford around the whole AstraZeneca situation and kind of almost like a bashing of the company for lots of different reasons. But I think that, you know, we need to get on with the vaccinations. I think it's tragic that people have had nasty side effects, but they were very rare. So we're very rare, Joe.
Well, maybe the reason why the HSE and the politicians were so queasy on, as you say, relatively few side effects, maybe the reason is because of the litigious nature of Irish people, that they were afraid of being sued. Well, the way to get around that is surely to say, when you sign up to take the vaccination,
some form of disclaimer.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. Otherwise, we'll never get there. Robert Fyle is in Tipperary. Robert, you tell me here, hello. I'm over 70 and you're pro-AstraZeneca. Do you think... Well, you see, this is the problem as well, and will happen again. People say, what's the point in asking, was it a good idea to halt the vaccine? They did halt it, full stop. They halted it, it seems, on very little evidence, and it's been halted for a week, and we will never know the number of people who will die because of that delay. Robert, your point, you want to make a point about paracetamol, and Professor Paul Horan of Trinity's point about everything as side effects.
Yeah, it was just I'd sent you the two copies. I mean, I was listening to your show there at the beginning of the week when I sent the email through, and it's really just the, when you look at the paracetamol number 4, possible side effects, and it gives possible side effects, rare side effects, 1 to 10 in 10,000 people can get blood clots, and the whole list of stuff that I couldn't even begin to pronounce. And that's just on an ordinary sheet, you know, about sort of 2 foot long, folded up in the paracetamol. And I think personally that it's totally over the top when it started off with 4 and now it's roughly 30 people worldwide, you know. It's just, you know, they just keep giving it the advantages.
Have you been vaccinated, Robert?
No, I've heard nothing yet at all.
If you were living in the UK, you'd be well vaccinated by now.
I have a sister that's 5 years younger than me, and she's had her first jab, and my brother-in-law's had both of his. And I was fortunate just before Christmas. I mean, I lost my father in January, unfortunately, but he was a fair old age. But they had theirs just between Christmas and the New Year. My father passed away in January, but mother's still going strong. She's had hers, and there's no effects whatsoever, but we're still waiting here at the moment.
Greg,
I'll come back to you. Robert, I'm not judging anything by your accent, but you mentioned that you've relatives in the UK. Have you an NHS number by any chance?
I'm not eligible anymore. No, I've lived here in Ireland too long.
Ineligible. Go on to the website. Go on to the NHS website and bang in that number. Because there's the Sunday World reported last Sunday that one of their former staffers who used to live or had a period of time in the UK a long time ago resurrected his old NHS number, put it into the system and was offered an appointment in Fermanagh 2 days later to get the vaccination.
Yeah, he could well have been. I had to get a prescription once about 4 or 5 years ago when I was in England, and I went to a doctor and got a prescription. And at the time, I was told that I was not eligible because I didn't live in England. I wasn't a resident any longer.
Okay, I'll go back, so that idea didn't go anywhere, unfortunately, but as you say, your people younger than you have been vaccinated at 75 miles from here. Greg Kelly, you want to come back in? Greg Kelly,
yes,
doctor.
Yes, if you go into any hospital, you have to have any procedure, any surgical procedure or any procedure, you have to sign a disclaimer whereby you accept that whatever the side effects are, and in many operations, the side effect is maybe even 1 in 100, it may be death. In some cases, it may be 50%.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome may be possible death. And once you know the side effects and the potential complications, and then you can make your own call on it. And what's happening here is it's not common sense at all. The general public, I'm sure, if they were told, in fact, if my patients, and I know in Castlereagh, County Roscommon, were told that 4 people died in Norway of possible side effects, and they asked them would they like to get that vaccine or not, I have no doubt they would certainly opt for having the vaccine. Because I see how, even in a small rural community, people are very anxious to get this vaccine. And they're even watching their neighbours to see. I had phone calls to say, well, my neighbour is a year younger than me, and I saw he got the vaccine, or his wife got the vaccine. Mm. And the people are very, very anxious to get it, and I think they're very disappointed. This week, for example, we had a plan to do a full vaccination day on Saturday, but we got word that our allocation will be reduced by 35% to 40% this week. So now especially for the category of the 75 to 80. So we're not even going to be able to vaccinate everybody between 75 and 80. So how do you pick who you're going
and to
give it
to, and
who
we
you're
haven't
not,
even got,
and who you're not.
We haven't got within an ass's roar of the people who are medically vulnerable and younger.
Stay
with us. Catherine O'Brien, sorry for holding you there, Catherine. Your point, please.
No, you're grand, Joe. Yeah. You're grand. My mum is 80. She received the vaccine. My dad is 79, and he was frightened of receiving it. And so what I was trying to explain to him was that it's a bit like, as I said, car accidents. What percentage of deadly car accidents are there to the number of cars on the road?
Yeah,
and if you work that out, that there would be far higher number of people that would be killed in a car, and yet we use cars all of the time, and that's how I was trying to explain it. I don't know if it came across right, but what I found is with my dad, because he was slightly nervous of the vaccine, once he heard that even though it was only what the 17, 14, and still a loss for some of the family of people who passed away, it was still something that he sort of said, well, now, see, I told you. And it is very hard when somebody gets that into their, into their heads, because it sort of confirms that, they were right in thinking that something is wrong with the vaccine in the first place.
Well, why was everybody, politicians, with the exception of Luke O'Neill, as far as I can see, why did everyone just go along with this decision early on Sunday morning to halt the relatively small supply of one vaccine, of the relatively small supply of all vaccines that we have?
For me, Well, I would think that they were afraid that if it came out and they weren't seen to do something, that that maybe it would be a worse situation.
Well, but it now means
people will think they were hiding something.
Yeah, there were 17 cases apparently in Germany. Yeah. And the bizarre thing was all the politicians and the medics who were supporting this halt to the AstraZeneca were saying it'll only be a few days. So they knew even then they were crying wolf. It was only, they kept saying it'll only be a few days. Is there an algorithm available that will tell us the number of people who will die because of this delay in AstraZeneca? It can be worked out, 30,000, compound that, what's going to happen over the next few weeks. And a very vulnerable, we're told, the most vulnerable group that accounts for 98% of all COVID deaths. Our number of deaths are still quite high, tragically. But nobody will proffer or ask what that statistic is. How many people will die because of this delay in the AstraZeneca? Anna Coughlin, before the break, your point, please, Anna. Go ahead, yes.
I just came on to say, I take the contraceptive pill, and the risk of blood clotting with that is much higher than what could potentially be with this vaccine. And the pill is prescribed to millions of young girls and women without a second thought about, we're told about the risk of blood clotting, but where it's not something that stops the pill from being prescribed. And it's being prescribed for conditions like skin problems, period pains, contraceptive pill. It is prescribed for very small reasons. It's just prescribed very easily. And the risk of blood clotting is one in every 1,000 women who take the pill get blood clotting per year. And around 151 million worldwide use the contraceptive pill, which means that 151,000 women experience blood clotting each year, yet the contraceptive pill is still prescribed
every day. You get it with much greater you'd have to take it with much greater regularity than the AstraZeneca, for example.
You take it every single day. So every woman that takes this pill wakes up, takes the pill, knowing that there's a risk of blood clotting, and yet there's nothing said about it. There has been no advice, advising against it. There's been this is a high risk, you shouldn't take it. Yet when there's 4 potential cases of blood clotting in the AstraZeneca vaccine, suddenly the rollout is halted. And I'm just kind of confused because I'm where is the logic there? If the risk is, if it's the same side effect...
But where was the debate? Where was the scientific discussion?
There isn't a scintilla of evidence that this vaccine has actually caused any problem. People get those clotting disorders. They get them all the time. They get them every day of the year in every country. They get those. It's guilt by association, as the text that I sent in to you, Joe, said. Yeah. One man was knocked down by a car and killed after going home from having had the AstraZeneca vaccine. Well, you don't just blame the AstraZeneca vaccine for that. And it's nearly as ridiculous as that is to withdraw the vaccine for the suspicion or the association of the AstraZeneca with 4 episodes of clotting. There's no proof that it actually did it, and I think common sense has gone out the window on this. And I think the people would people that I deal with.
I don't know whether you're a member of the IMO or the College of General Practitioners or whatever, but the IMO are totally supportive of this pause. They're spokespeople anyway. I heard them a number of times, and the line always is it's better to be safe than sorry. If that's the case, we will never have a vaccine.
Well, of course, if they're entitled to agree with it, and I am a member both of the IMO and the ICGP, but as Mario Rosenstock said last night, every professor in the country has expressed an opinion. Now, I'm not a professor, but I have an opinion, and I've over 45 years experience in medicine, and I've seen a lot of drugs come and go on the market, and some to be withdrawn for different complications and been replaced by ones that were even more dangerous. But I think common sense has kind of gone out the window, and we're kind of overestimating our own knowledge and importance, in that we're overruling the WHO and in some cases the COVAX, European
yeah, the,
uh, European advice. Yeah.
And we're effectively overruling the EMA as well, because the EMA never called for a ban.
Oh, absolutely, and neither did they suggest that it shouldn't be given to the over-70s, and yet we went on a solar run and said we wouldn't give it to the over-70s. And it's a very important vaccine for Ireland and for the world, because unlike the other vaccines that we have available it doesn't have to be stored.
Just one final question to each one of you. Dr. Greg Keddie, what would be your reaction in an hour's time when the EMA say, well, they might throw in something about make sure you're taking your low-dosage aspirin or whatever, but the EMA sequentially say, follow up with what they've been saying all week and say that the AstraZeneca, there's no reason to halt it. What would your reaction be?
Well, my reaction would be, well, first of all, I told you, Joe, I told you so. Yeah. But anyhow, I think that we've made the wrong decision. And I'd be hopeful that...
Wrong decisions at this level. 2.5 million people have died. 2.5 million people have died because of COVID. Wrong decisions at this level means people die. That is the problem. And in many people, somebody do the algorithm, work out the stats, it can be done. How many people will die in Ireland because of this delay? Which so many people are now saying, including medics and scientists, was unnecessary.
Yeah, can I just comment?
Yeah, Professor Paul Horan, before you go, Paul, yes.
I hope the EMA do come out and say we shouldn't have halted it. We need to get on with the vaccines. We need to tell positive vaccine stories. People need to be given the evidence, like was described by the caller from Oxford, part of side effects people take, or aspirin, take whatever, preventative measures they need for the vaccine to work, and let's move it on. I have one final point, and that is this. I'd like to see the rational evidence that was provided to the politicians in our country to make this decision. Can that be sought under Freedom of Information, Joe? What evidence was given to the politicians, on paper, by whoever, to make this decision?
And in the meantime, our numbers of people dying in Ireland have remained stubbornly high.
Stubbornly high.
Yeah, Professor Paul Horan, Professor of Midwifery in Trinity College Dublin, Dr. Greg Keddie in Castlereagh, County Roscommon.
Nursing,
Paul. Sorry, my mistake. Thanks, plus Professor Paul Horan, Professor of Nursing in Trinity College. And I hope you're not nursing any grudges against me for getting that wrong, Paul. But anyway, it's not in your nature. Thanks indeed, Paul Horan, Dr. Greg Kelly, Anna Coughlin, Catherine O'Brien and Bernard McKenna and the other callers. Joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Colm Crawford is in Northern Ireland. Colm, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Good. The vaccine.
About the vaccine, I spoke to the lady there a moment ago. As I said, my mum's from Ballyfermot and I'm from Ballyfermot.
Yeah.
And the advice I got during the COVID was to bring my mum up the north, which she's been residing with me. Now, my concern, Joe, is that there's 30,000 people in the south that haven't been vaccinated this week.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 2 weeks for that vaccine to settle in.
Good point.
Which means Easter, you're going to have another explosion at Easter down south.
And how did you get your mother the jab from Ballyfermot up north, Colm?
She's registered with my doctor up the north, and it's a common travel area, and she's allowed to travel within the island of Ireland. And I spoke to the lady there. She's had a great service up the north with me. She's entitled to free medical care, and she's been looked after by doctors and nurses. But the main issue, Joe, is that we're up the north. Now, I'm Irish, and I'm proud to be Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're now vaccinating, the 50s and over are being vaccinated up here. And there's people down south with cancer that can't get a vaccine. And
cystic fibrosis.
The whole point of the vaccine, what I said to the lady was with the Oxford vaccine, and we've got to allow these guys, it's designed to keep people out of hospital. It's £4 a piece, and it's designed just to settle things down and keep people out of hospital. And you know yourself, Joe, that's where the main concern is. Once you go into hospital, you're more likely to pick up something, and it's putting problems on the health service. So I have to say that from living up the north, take the vaccine, because as I said, there is a couple of side effects. And what the lady said earlier on, you're given a leaflet and you're told it may cause this and may cause that. I suggest to anybody, you don't want to be working that day. If you take the vaccine, take the day off work, because it does make you a little bit drowsy. But the end day is, it keeps you out of a hospital, and that's the main issue.
And the way
but in terms of my mum, they could not have helped her any more than they could. It's a cradle to grave health service, and people down south really need to be aware of you're entitled to help. You're entitled to health care. It's a fundamental right. You're entitled to health care. And
I take your point, Conor, but people down south will say, like, the HSE budget has doubled in the last 5 years, gone from 14 billion to 21 billion. So it's gone up by 50%. And I'm not even including the COVID contingency, which is 2 or 3 billion last year and this year as well, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we have a very highly funded health service here now.
But Joe, you need to look where the money is. The problem down south is that every time I went to a doctor down south, it was only a year and a half ago my mum ended up in hospital in St. James's with severe breathing difficulties. And the first thing the doctor said to me was, you know you can go private. Now, I was on, you had a program there a couple of months ago where a person said they went to get, I think it was a driving license signed, and because he had a cough, the doctor charged him another 60 euro.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Now, I remember it. It shocked me. Now, we need to be honest about it. We need to be honest about what a health service that we want for all the people. So if you go to a doctor and the person says, well, you know you can go private, that's not a good starting point.
Colm, stay with us and listen to Maura McQuaid, who's a completely different point of view. Maura, you believe that the government were right to stop AstraZeneca.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I believe they're right, because everybody so far has been talking about numbers and referring to the side effects as 1 in 10, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, and the handing a piece of paper to say you could get these side effects. But what they're forgetting about is that people like me who have recurrent anaphylaxis, which means I react to everything, my chances, and I've had over 20 anaphylaxis already. I've been hospitalised all over Europe because I've eaten things like a plain bread baguette in Spain with nothing on it, and I had an anaphylaxis. And I've always been told that only get vaccinations that are totally essential.
Okay.
I've had COVID. I think the vaccination is totally essential.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I would like the vaccination. But if the side effect, which has already been written on the piece of paper, is anaphylaxis, why can I not be sure that the side effects that we're being told about are the complete side effects? So therefore, if there's a danger of anaphylaxis or bleeding, I had a stroke a year ago. I'm not in the over 70s category. So, you know, I'm reasonably, as they say, in the health
category. I'll come back to the awful situation you find yourself in with the attacks. But, Maura, how does this feed into the government banning AstraZeneca for at least a week? And
yeah, but I would agree with them because Leo...
So everyone... But surely if you say you're worried about an anaphylactic attack with great cause, obviously, but surely you don't take the vaccination, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you see, everybody has a choice and we're living in a democracy.
They don't have a choice this week. There are 30,000 people who are extraordinarily vulnerable, because that's the cohort we're still dealing with in the slow rollout in this country. There are 30,000 people that are extraordinarily vulnerable who didn't get the vaccine this week. They're surely worried.
They are, as I am surely worried.
Yeah, but why should they have been stopped? Because you, and I don't mean to personalise this.
I know,
because
you're not personalising
it. No, because you worried about an anaphylactic attack, which is awful.
Because I could die.
No one, has been forced to take the vaccine. You don't have to take it.
Well, that's exactly, but we have a right to be protected. And that's all that they're doing, is to make sure that the side effects, that people know about the side effects, and that when making choice, you can make the correct choice. So therefore, if AstraZeneca is not the vaccine for me, maybe it's Johnson & Johnson, maybe it's the Russian one, but I should be allowed to make that choice because my life is equally important.
Well, do you know, Maura, absolutely. But Maura, do you know from research, it have people who've had previous anaphylactic attacks, are they especially vulnerable to AstraZeneca?
Absolutely. They said that from the, from the first vaccine in England. The first vaccine that was given in England, what was it? I think was it the Pfizer one. Yeah. Two of the staff in the hospital.
Oh, that's it. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember them?
But they didn't stop. But it didn't stop the rollout in the UK. There's now what 36 million people in the UK have got at least one vaccination. It's incredible.
But you see, what has happened, you see, over time, the research has improved over time, right? So therefore, because initially, when they gave those first lot of vaccine, like, we're not talking about, say, numbers, but we're experimental with numbers. Say, they were the first 10,000. But as research goes on, that's been fed back into the companies who are the scientists that are doing the research, and then know whether it is safe, whether whether the chances of not getting anaphylaxis. And I'm only saying my case, but there will be people get anaphylaxis, but who have never had anaphylaxis before.
Yeah, but
so why would you increase? And I'm one of the 30,000 that we're talking about that should have had vaccines last week.
But you're saying you've already been told if you suffer from anaphylactic attacks, don't take the vaccine don't take whatever's available at the minute until we monitor it more.
Yes.
No, I haven't been told that because my number hasn't come up yet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
But would you give me an injection that you know quite possibly I could, die of?
Because of course, no one will. But I would give a.
Exactly.
I would.
That's
I
what
would.
People
I,
are forgetting.
Yeah, but there'll always. Unfortunately, there will always be. If any medicine is going to be effective, to impact on your body, there are going to be side effects because otherwise you're being given a placebo.
Absolutely, but at least you know that there are going to be side effects. If they didn't come out and tell us in Denmark that two of those people have died, right? Two have survived, but they've had, life-changing, the incident was totally life-changing, right? Would those four people have taken that injection if they knew that that was going to be the side effect? You would say the answer is no.
If they know, but also you're reading, and we read it every day, a single shot of the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca gives you 80% protection against being ending up in hospital with COVID.
Yeah, but have I 80% chance of death?
No, you haven't.
Well,
people are dying in their millions because of COVID. That's the reality, including 17,000, over 1,000 in January. I can't believe that figure isn't getting more attention. Over 1,000 people in January died in the Republic of Ireland from COVID. And they halt a vaccine, it seems, I'm quoting Luke O'Neill, without adequate scientific information. Carmen Sanchez is in Wexford. Carmen, your point, please.
My point is, I'm Spanish, right?
Okay.
And I would like to see much more transparency. I keep hearing 3 cases in Denmark or 4 cases here. But in fairness, we know there is more of them. I follow the case with AstraZeneca. I was meant to have the vaccine on Monday. And I'm completely in favor of the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It's my passport to my family that I haven't seen in a year and a few months. It means a lot to me. But I would like to see more transparency in the information. I have the chance to follow the Spanish newspapers, obviously, and I read El País, which is a very prestigious newspaper. But I also read The Welt in German, because I'm a German speaker. And we keep hearing in Ireland it's not related. It is related. Yes, the chances are very, very small, very slim. But there is the chances there. So if we are informed properly. And the other thing is, my daughter had the vaccination, the AstraZeneca vaccine, on Monday. She was the last one. She got it at 4 o'clock. And 4:10, the officer walk into while she was waiting to see that there was no reaction. An officer came in and said, we have to cancel the rest of the vaccines.
Because on Monday afternoon, as we know, a number of other European countries, including Spain and your daughter's
in Because it was suspended in Germany, in Spain.
Yeah. And how was your daughter?
That's my point. My daughter has been offered a follow-up. She was last night in her GP, and on Monday, a simple blood test will be done where her white cells will be monitored, right? Mm-hmm. A prevention measurement, very simple. And it's very simple. It's a thing that if I have that kind of support, I would go for the AstraZeneca. While I'm not having any support, and it's wait, if you get a headache, run to the hospital. I'm very apprehensive to get the the vaccine, you know. And it's me who are completely convinced of the benefit that the vaccine can bring. But I know we have to see the greater good. But then there's people, individuals, who have died on this terrible blood clot, which actually affects the brain and so on.
We need to drill down into the figures. There's no proof being offered so far that it was caused by the vaccine. The fatality numbers that we know are from people who die from COVID, not from the vaccine.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about that. That's why I was so much in favor of the vaccine. Yeah. And it's the solution. I know that.
We're told the vaccines were going to be a game changer. They were going to be a lifesaver.
And they are a game changer. I haven't changed my mind.
Why did 30,000 people this week not get the vaccine?
Because the way that the information has been managed, you always ask yourself that 0.06% who have Spain had 900,000 vaccines on, right? Mm. Three people so far. It is well recorded in the press. The lady in Baleares, 43 years old, Saturday she died. Only 2 days ago she started immediately with this pounding headache. And 2 days later, Saturday, she died. And, you know, the public is asking themselves, that could be me. I'm asking myself, that could be me. I for personal reasons, I have as well.
But will you take AstraZeneca if you're offered eventually? You're 61.
If I would be offered a follow-up with a blood test to monitor my white cells and so on, yes. If I'm being left on my own, no. At the moment, no. I don't think we have information enough at the moment.
And if the EMA repeat what they've been saying all week, if the EMA say in half an hour's time that the vaccine is safe, AstraZeneca, will you take it then?
We know it's safe. We know millions of people have taken, and the percentage is very, very low.
Yeah.
But I want to hear there is a percentage. I want to hear it clear.
But there is always going to be a percentage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we're not advocating recklessness.
Yeah.
But we are up against the most dangerous thing that's happened in our lifetime, apart from if you're old enough to, you're not, remember the Second World War. It is the most horrific thing in terms of casualties that's happened in most of our lifetimes.
Totally agree. Never will deny
like
that.
The first thing,
for me, means a lot because I'm an essential. I'm deemed as essential worker.
Yeah.
So I do need the vaccine to do my work, safely my work. You know.
The first thing that Joe Biden did when he became president was to declare wartime rules in terms of production of vaccines.
I can understand completely that. We should widen a little bit our options as well. There's not only. We should be a little. I agree with Professor. What is he? O'Neill.
Luke O'Neill. Yeah.
That we have to be a little more aggressive in our search for vaccines.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people like me who are
will we be told at any of the briefings how many people? What is the algorithm that tells us how many people are dying because of the delay in vaccines?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We won't be told that. People have to take decisions like
continue working from home. Absolutely not seeing anyone give up totally the idea to go to Spain and see my grandchild who will be born next month. seeing my parents who have my mother diagnosed with Parkinson, all that, that's my other side of the coin. I have to make the decision between risking the 0.6% or whatever to get a clot, or wait to see if there's more vaccines coming into the country, and at some stage in 1 month or 2 months, we are in a better place. At the moment, my level of confidence regarding the AstraZeneca is very low because I'm reading newspaper. I shouldn't read them, probably, for my own sanity. I'm reading Spanish newspaper constantly.
Well, I'm just quoting one, and not many of them being quoted in Ireland, but Professor Peter Openshaw of the Imperial College of London, he said, there was a chorus of experts, scientific experts agreeing with him, I think it is very clear that the benefits of being vaccinated at the moment so far outweigh the possible concern over this rather rare type of blood clot.
Yeah.
It really is a completely one-sided argument statistically that we need to be vaccinating. 316 people were vaccinated in this republic of population of 5 million last Sunday. Carmen, kind regards to you and your family and your new grandchild. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye-bye in a few weeks. That's Carmen Sanchez.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And again, a quote from Dr. Eimear Cook, she's Irish, if that matters, it doesn't really, of the European Medicines Agency. And she said a couple of days ago, I want to stress at present, there's no indication that vaccination has caused these conditions. We're still firmly convinced the benefits of vaccine outweigh the risk of side effects. So why was that side of the argument completely drowned out in this country over the last week or so? John Wall is in Ennis. John, your point, please.
Thanks, Joe, for the opportunity. It's very, very frustrating. I'm in cohort 4 and I'm listening and reading just like everybody else in relation to the AstraZeneca vaccine. But the overriding factor for me is that it remains approved and endorsed by the World Health Organization and the European Medicines Agency. And yes, the narrative surrounding an absolutely minuscule amount of people, and I'm not detracting or taking away for a moment those that have been adversely affected by the AstraZeneca vaccine, but is it an issue we have to ask ourselves? And honestly, I don't think it is. It seems to be a copy and paste approach that we're taking in conjunction with our EU partners, and it's a wait and see attitude, and we're waiting to see what the EMA will say.
The EMA have already said they're going to drill down into the stats. But in the meantime, they've said there is no reason to, the benefits far outweigh the worries at this stage.
That is the point. And we got to remember, too, it's not a mandatory vaccine. If anyone has any issue with it, they do not have to receive it.
And why are you in level 4? That's serious.
I'm in cohort 4 because I have stage 4 cancer. And I will, despite what we've been hearing during the week, if I was offered the AstraZeneca in the morning, I would have absolutely no issue whatsoever based on the fact that it has been approved. It continues to be endorsed by the powers that be. And they're the people we should be listening to in this debate. But we're not. We're reading it on papers, and you have some people speaking against it. Even people that are pro-vaccine have an issue with it. I'm on medication, Joe. And the patient information leaflet that's attached to it, it doesn't read very well in that there's a lot of issues, or potential side effects to the medication that I'm on, which is absolutely standard with a lot of medication, both over-the-counter and indeed those that you need prescriptions for. And that's not an issue. And I suspect it'll be the exact same case with AstraZeneca. But the problem being, there are 30,000 people, 30,000 that have now missed their vaccination as a result of something that the governing body is saying is not an issue. So, you know, who's in charge? Do we need to copy and paste? You know what our EU partners do? And no, we do not. We see our UK colleagues. The NHS
We were one of the first to halt AstraZeneca, and then other countries followed suit.
That's exactly the point, they followed suit. And that's what we seem to be doing now. We're waiting for someone else to make a decision. The decision has already been made that it's the vaccine is approved. That is the main point here, and it remains. It continues to be approved, and yet we've
And have you any idea, John, given your diagnosis, as you say, you have terminal cancer, unfortunately, stage four.
Yeah.
Have you any idea when you're going to be vaccinated?
No idea, Joe. Absolutely no idea. As with, I've talked to a lot of people in similar circumstances over the last number of weeks, and absolutely no idea whatsoever. And I think that's a separate issue. That's the logistics behind this is quite complex, but certainly not helped by a cessation of the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine. And if I were to be sceptical, I'd say it suits the narrative at the moment, whereby there are supply chain issues and AstraZeneca were not able and won't be for some time, as it appears they won't be able to produce or honour the contract that they have signed with the EU in terms of the numbers that they're providing. So, you know...
Yeah, but then again, I'm quoting every interview we heard at the beginning of the week from the people who were advocating this. Not advocate, they got the pause, they got the week's delay, at least. Even though the odds said in the same breath, but it'll only be Thursday or Friday. Well, if they knew that, it's as if days don't matter. And days do matter.
They absolutely do matter. I've heard stories of people that were supposed to get the... first-hand now, I've heard stories of people that were due to get the vaccine last Sunday, and they begged for it, but it wasn't given because of the decision that was unilaterally taken. And it has to be said, against the advice of the very agency that have approved the vaccine in the first instance. We waited a long time in Ireland for the vaccine to be approved, albeit not as long as other vaccines would have taken, but that's the joint approach, and the nature of this pandemic means that a lot of agencies worked in tandem to ensure that something was done, and it was approved. And now we don't seem to be questioning the approval, but we seem to be who are we listening to? The very people that endorse it, that tell us it is safe to use, continue to do so, and yet their voice is drowned out. But they're the people that we should be and we must be listening to. We all have to be looking at the same page. And yes, it has to be safe to use. Are there going to be side effects, unfortunately, with any vaccine down throughout the years? There are always side effects for a minority, but ultimately it's an individual decision. It's not mandatory, but it remains approved. And I keep saying the same thing. That's hugely important for me personally. And as I said, if I was offered it in the morning, I would have no hesitation whatsoever in taking it, knowing the potential consequences, which are so minuscule. But for me, the benefits far, far outweigh what has been discussed to date in terms of potential side effects.
Okay.
It allows people like me to live a little again. That's all we want.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's going to be, I suspect, quite significantly delayed as a result of the last week. But we await further to see what happens with the EMA announcement later on.
Okay, and... John, I hope that point you made about the benefits far outweigh the risks. I hope that applies to all your other medication at the minute as well. Thanks. You're a great campaigner. People know that on Twitter and beyond. And given your circumstances, that's
well, I really hope that people, people listen to the show today, and they listen to Professor Luke O'Neill. Has been very honest in his appraisal of everything to date. Has been honest in his appraisal and what he thinks as a medical professional, the decision that has been taken to pause the administration of the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Because, one of the things that seems to have got into the discourse is that what seems to be lost is the number of people who were dying, and that minutes matter in terms of vaccine.
They continue to die, and they will continue to die as long as the administration of this of the AstraZeneca vaccine is extant. Their people are going to continue to die, and far more people will continue to die.
And we're given loads of stuff about quarter two and quarter three and the summer.
Those are just targets that will never be reached. There's not a hope. But if there's going to be an efficient and transparent administration of the vaccine, somebody somewhere in Ireland needs to make the decision. This is something that has been approved. It is safe to use. Yes, there are side effects for a minute cohort of people, unfortunately, but that is the same for most medications that we take, the pills, the patient information leaflets that are attached.
Because on the other hand, I know people are making the point, as I did on Monday, about Luke O'Neill, but there's other scientists as well who agree with the halts, and they all have opinions, and they're all as
you just said it, Joe, they're opinions, but the overriding people that make these decisions are the governing bodies, which in our case would be the EMA.
No, the decision to stop the AstraZeneca was made by the politicians, was made by the government.
If I had an issue in the morning medically, would I go to a doctor or a politician?
Okay, but the politicians argue we're being advised by doctors. Anyway, John, kind regards as always. That's John Wall in Ennis. And John Vaughan, I'll be talking to John after this break.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And then is there any vaccine payback? Della Morta, Della, good afternoon. It's been a very, very difficult time for you and your family, Della. You're on WhatsApp because your father died this day last week. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
And
Lord have mercy now. There was just one thing that I wanted to raise. Like lots of Irish families, we're a healthcare family kind of thing. And six of us were vaccinated, fully vaccinated, which was brilliant. Like it gave us such comfort. Like he took a massive stroke on Saturday night and like we couldn't be with him that night. But from the next day, we could be there. One of us could be there that was vaccinated. And that was hugely comforting for everyone, including him. Like he just held her hand all the time. Our Lady of Lourdes Drogheda in the stroke unit, they were amazing. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. But it was around the time of the funeral that was particularly difficult. Was going to the church, bringing him to the church, and there was just 10 of us allowed in. Mm-hmm. So he has 8 children, so it was the 8 children got access. He has one sister and one wife, so that was 10 people. But with 6 of us in the immediate family vaccinated, you know, we did ask the priest and the undertaker if it was possible to include 6 more people, but they didn't think, you know, following the guidelines, and we were very all of the guidelines, but I just like the government and NPHET to consider, you know, now with more and more people getting vaccinated, I mean, I'm aware like there's a delay on vaccinations this week, unfortunately, but there are more and more of us becoming vaccinated. And, you know, if we can, especially for that older age group that are getting the vaccines, like by Easter,
your line is disappearing every few seconds, Della. But your point is, and when you ask the undertaker and the priest, given that there are 6 of us that have been vaccinated, what did they say? Did they say, well, how do we prove that? How do we argue that if the guards arrive?
It was more they were a little fearful that if it got out on social media that there was more people, and the funeral was been live streamed, so it was just a fear for them. And we were, you know, they were brilliant. Both men were absolutely amazing to us, and we certainly weren't going to rock any boats. But it's just for future families. Like people die all the time, and Irish people have always been famous for grieving well. And I think that whole funeral process and everything is very important to our culture. Like I trained in England, and I remember doing that module on grief and death, and been so proud to be Irish because we're so good at dying. And I just think, you know, there's other things, like I know an international passport, you know, a vaccination passport and everything, like these will be important in future, but people are dying every day. So if we could just make a plan for the people that are vaccinated around funerals, I think it could be good.
But it was part of the NPHET argument on funerals. It's not just funerals. It was what was happening after funerals. That awful outbreak down in South Wexford apparently happened. There was a lot of people out into the church to begin with. But then there was an event afterwards. And this is the problem with funerals.
Of course they will be. But you have to respect the guidelines. Like, you know, like you have to respect the disease. That, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody's behavior. But I think we all need to respect that it's a highly contagious disease that kill people. But it's just, you know, when we went to the church that night, like, we were just there sitting in separate seats. It was so lonely. It was really so lonely and cold. So, like, if you know, what extra people, our partners could have been there. You know, and it would have been nicer. Like, my mother has two sisters and a brother. They couldn't be there. But with a couple of extra people, and it wasn't, like...
And you were given that benefit because you were vaccinated.
Well, we weren't. Okay. We didn't. I feel that possibly, I'd just like if they could consider, could people be given that benefit in the future? You know, if people are vaccinated, could they attend something important like a family funeral?
I know the church are saying the same thing at the weekend. Archbishop Dermot Farrell in Dublin is saying the same thing, as indeed at a hierarchy.
Everyone will always have to respect the disease that it is. Yeah. Highly contagious.
Killer,
horrible.
Killer.
Yeah,
killer.
It's horrible.
Especially
horrible,
of a particular age group.
Yeah. But thankfully, lots of our older people are getting vaccinated. Like, my mother was vaccinated last Wednesday, which was wonderful.
Right. By the way, was your dad, God rest him, due to be vaccinated?
He was due to be vaccinated with her, yeah, on Wednesday. Yeah. But he took the stroke on Saturday. But now we're thankful that he took it a few days earlier because, you know, there was no query. It definitely wasn't vaccinated related. He took a massive stroke that led to his passing a few days later. But, yeah.
Okay. God rest him. His name was Tom Morta. Thanks indeed, yeah. Della. That's Della.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, Della. 51551. Again, wash your hands, please.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. John Vaughan is in Cork and John Whelan's in Dublin. John, your point, please.
I'm absolutely furious.
Why?
Because the government and NPHET have handled this completely wrong. NPHET have got to go because they have delayed, they have put us through a series of rules and regulations for the last year. Now they're telling us, oh, April was safe, we might be able to open the country again. And suddenly it was NPHET and their advisory who told the government to pull AstraZeneca last Sunday.
Well, it was the NIAC.
The Thai government had already come across this problem and had cleared AstraZeneca a week before. And we're cancelling for a week. Joe, I don't have much time because I know the show is nearly up, but I have a brain tumour and I have MS. And I went in on Tuesday to see, and it's going to come out now next year because a doctor wants me vaccinated and he wants far less COVID in the wards before I'm done. That's fine. Except I don't know when I'm getting vaccinated because up to 3 weeks ago, we were last. Anyone with cancer, MS, on immunosuppressants, I'm on a drug that has very serious side effects if things go wrong. Okay? I'm willing to take it because it's keeping me going. Because I have MS. And suddenly someone who doesn't care about the people
don't go down that road, John.
People.
John, can I? It's clear that you can't have the surgery until you have the vaccination.
I can have no. He said you can have the surgery next week. I'm on a health card, and he said I give you the surgery next week.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it for danger of infection.
Okay.
And from the thing, so I'm stuck.
So they want they want you vaccinated.
They want me vaccinated, and yet
have you a chance of being vaccinated by this day next week?
Not a chance. And how we haven't been told when we're getting it.
John, so you're saying the government should not have paused AstraZeneca?
Should not have paused, and they have to relax the rules because people are at breaking point.
John Whelan's in Dublin. That's John Vaughan in Cork. John, your point, please.
Yeah, just very quickly, Joe. This is really about a safety issue. And this, we've got to remember that a year ago, there was no vaccines. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. And everybody that's in the pharmaceutical companies got together and they came up with vaccines. Mm-hmm. And they have to be applauded for that. The amount of work that went in over the last 12 months.
And the amount of money, public money, that went into funding.
Totally agree.
It. Yeah.
So if there's a case of a safety issue with any of these vaccines, the EMA has to look into it. They have to rule out all these kind of things to make it safe for everybody, because there will be a certain cohort of people who will be...
But every medicine is not safe for everybody. Full stop.
No, exactly. Like, I mean, you could... I'm on medication same as that chap for cancer. I'm nowhere on anybody's list at the moment. But the medications that I'm on have huge side effects. Yeah. Do I stop taking them because those side effects are there? Now, these are medications that have been out there for years, donkey's years, and they're well known. These vaccines have been with us for less than a few months. So there's going to be issues that will arise that need to be straightened out.
Do you say we'd wait 10 years before...
No, I think if we pause
that is the problem.
This,
we've never had anything like what we're going through at the minute and been going through for the last year. 2.5 million people dead.
I totally agree with
over
that, Joe,
117
and I understand where people
are
coming from. But I think if we're going to go down the road of having a vaccine that works,
the evidence so far is that the vaccines do work and they work incredibly well.
Sorry, can I interrupt for a second?
John Vaughan.
The vaccine was cleared last week by the size for the same thing. The vaccine's been cleared. EMA said keep using it. It is individual groups in each country that have pulled it. In Germany, 200 people are dying a day now because they've frozen the AstraZeneca.
Okay.
200 a day.
Okay. I've got to leave it at that. Thanks indeed, John Vaughan, and thanks indeed, John Whelan, and kind regards to all the callers who couldn't get on both sides of the argument. Jamie Doyle was on sound. Len Conlon was the broadcasting coordinator. Niamh Dunn was the researcher. And the producer today was the series producer, Rebecca Meehan, and Ray Darcy. Thanks.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Sorento plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.